to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and my guest today is an avid adventurer. She has two boys and a great husband and is absolutely committed to living life to the fullest every minute of every day. I invited her on the podcast today because she is my adventure-seeking, travel-and-make-memories-with-your-family guru friend. I love her outlook on life and hearing all about all of her crazy, fun adventures. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend, Christina McAvoy. Hi, Christina. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be part of this.
Oh, I'm so glad. So first, tell us a little bit about you and your family and how you became so passionate about getting the most out of life.
All right. Well, I'll try to kind of sum it up in a nutshell. So my husband and I have two kids, as you mentioned, and two boys, and they're 10, and my oldest is turning 13 in 2 days. So we're going to have a teenager on our hands pretty soon.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, so we live in Idaho, and we've lived here for about 10 years, and we actually chose to live in Idaho because of the outdoors. We are big outdoor enthusiasts. My husband and I grew up in California and Utah, and so we spent a lot of time outdoors, skiing and hiking and camping and surfing. And so naturally when we got married and, you know, talked about having kids, it was like, okay, so we want to raise our kids to love the outdoors. And that was just kind of, you know, how we decided to bring our kids up. And so choosing a location where we could live and have that a part of our lives was really important. And so Idaho was a good place because there's so much to do outdoors and it's, you know, affordable and we're close to family. And so it was kind of an easy decision.
Well, I'm so glad you chose Idaho because I get to work out with you sometimes and that's so fun.
I know.
You get to do the Friday fun adventure, like fun workouts. And I love that. I think we should definitely bring that back.
I miss those.
Yes.
I know. Seriously. I miss those. Those are fun. We always get lots of stairs.
Yes. So who would you say is the bigger adventurer? Is it you or your husband?
I think that's a toss-up. You know, definitely we both kind of have similar interests, but also, like, you know, some different interests. You know, he's really into fishing. I am not into fishing. It's a little too, I can't stand still for very long. So yeah. It's hard for me to just, like, be patient and sit there.
Yeah.
And so he's like the fishing. We're both really into skiing and hiking and backpacking and biking. And I love paddleboarding. He likes it. I'm probably more into it than he is. But I would say we're pretty even. When we were dating, we were pretty gutsy. I mean, we would ski and huck off of cliffs and you know, climb, you know, crazy cliffs together and sit on the edge. And all of our friends would just stare at us like, are you guys nuts? You know? So we've skydived together before, we bungee jump together.
Wow.
So I think we're pretty even. I would say having kids, we've kind of become a little bit more, I wouldn't even say the word cautious. It's probably responsible.
Yeah. I love it.
Because we realize that we want our kids to embrace these things, but we also want them to be cautious and careful and make wise decisions when it comes to that. So I would say we've kind of toned it back a little bit, even though when friends are with us, they're like, you guys are the same. And I'm like, no, we're definitely a little bit, you know,
yeah,
a little bit calmer. So yeah, that's tough. We both love to just, we're both adrenaline junkies.
I love it. So I absolutely love your story, and I'm hoping that you wouldn't mind sharing it with your listeners. But what happened to change your outlook and made adventuring and memory making so important to you?
Well, yeah, so I've always kind of had this motto in my life where I just think you grab life by its horns. I guess from a young age, I kind of realized I don't want to live my life not doing what I want. And so I have always kind of just lived in the moment. But it wasn't until about 8 years ago when I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer that I really, really embraced it. And so for me, going through cancer, so I guess I'll share a little bit about that. So about 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic melanoma. And for those that don't know much about melanoma, melanoma is the deadliest form of skin cancer. And what happened with me was it had spread from a cancerous mole to my lymph nodes and then my lungs in 2010. And that was life-changing, life-altering event that happened in my life, obviously, because I went from this super active, healthy person that really didn't think twice about getting cancer, you know, or having a serious health issue like that. And it totally flipped me upside down, as it would anybody. And I was only 32 years old at the time, and my kids were 5 and 2 years old. So they were really small. And as you can imagine, you know, the first emotion that I had was this fear of, oh my gosh, am I going to be around to see my boy grow up? And am I going to be around to, you know, do these things with him that I want to do? And it was just crippling to have these thoughts and these fears and anxieties about my life all of a sudden just flash before my eyes. And it was a really hard time, I'll be honest. And I'm a really optimistic person, but I'm human. And so it's, you know, it's normal to kind of go through the fear and the anxiety and the what ifs. And you just kind of have this moment of woe is me, and I'm not like that. So I went through a period of time where I just thought, why me? Like, why is this happening to me? And, you know, I didn't deserve this, and all those things that we sometimes do when something hard happens.
Yeah.
And obviously, I came out of that. I changed my attitude because I realized that I didn't want to live in fear. I also knew that if I was going to beat this, I needed to have a positive attitude and faith. And so, you know, I turned it around pretty quickly. And when I started treatment in August of 2010, I was like, we're going for it. And I just would tell myself every day, I'm a big believer in positive affirmations. And I would just tell myself every day when I'd get up in the morning, you're going to live. You are going to be around. You're not going anywhere. And I really started believing that in myself. And even though I would still have little moments once in a while where the fear would creep in, I was able to mentally kind of push those back and just focus on the present and just focus on, I'm getting better, the treatments are working, and I'm not going anywhere. And so I think going through that experience, obviously I went through months of treatment and some really scary days. And ultimately, you know, the treatments worked. I feel like God's hand was in my life, obviously, in more than one way. And I was, you know, able to get to remission, and I continue to be in remission almost 8 years later. And it's pretty amazing because, you know, I was given a 10% chance of living 2 years. Wow. And that is not a statistic that you really want hanging over your head. But again, I focused on, instead of the 10%, or the 90% of people that are, you know, dying with this disease, I focused on being that 10%. And I just hung on to that. And I just really tried to stay positive. And during those months where it was really hard, and physically, I wasn't feeling well. And so when you're physically not feeling well, it's really hard to always stay mentally on your game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, I was human, I have moments of, oh my gosh, is this just gonna be my life? You know, is this it? You know, but again, I just would pray. I would just always feel this. I can't even describe it, but I would have this inner burning feeling inside of me that just told me, Christina, you're not going anywhere. You have a lot of life to live. And I just grasped to that. And so I was just focused on that. And I think having these little moments, I realized, you know, every day that it was the simple things in life that really brought me joy. And, you know, for example, I would get little cards and emails from friends and family, you know, or my 2-year-old would come snuggle with me in my bed when I was sick. You know, these little things that just appeared to me each day, and it just really kind of changed my perspective. Instead of always thinking about the future and, oh, you know, life will be better when this happens, or when we do this, you know, we've made it, or, you know, just we were always thinking of the future. And that whole experience, you know, going through my cancer really taught me even more so to live in the present and to just find the simple things in life every day that bring me joy. And you know, my family is the biggest, you know. And so for me, I was like, I want to just make memories with my family. I want to, I know how fast they grow up, you know, and I just want to just hold on to that. And so when I started kind of feeling better and getting, you know, recovered from the treatment, you know, we started getting back into what we love, which was the outdoors. And we were doing it before all this happened, but, you know, our kids are really little, so we were limited somewhat in what we could do. And once they got a little bit older and I was, you know, out of the woods, so to speak, we started doing more and more. And that's just, you know, it just, again, it's just embracing where you're at right now in your life. And whether you have little kids, whether you have older kids, whether you don't have kids, whether your kids are grown, it's just taking your circumstance and living in the present and just making the most of it. And for me, that's been one of the biggest life lessons that I've learned. And again, I knew, like, I felt like I had a pretty good grasp on that before I went through cancer, but it really changed me to not just say it, but live it when I, you know, after going through my experiences with cancer. And so I just feel like life is a gift. As we all hear that cliche statement, it is so true though. And having gone through a life-threatening disease, I just have this renewed perspective for what's important in life, not to sweat the small stuff. That is a big one. And to just live in the present. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so for me, it's just all about living for today and making the most out of today, even if that means going to work or going to school. It's just finding those little moments each day that we can, that fill us joy and help us to remember like why we're here and what we love about our life. It's just showing gratitude every day.
Yeah. Well, your story is so inspirational. And I love that you just like looked cancer in the eyes and was like, I'm not ready to go. So back off. I just love that. I love your strength. I love the way you tell it. And I love that you tell it. I love that you're vocal about it and you just inspire people to appreciate their lives, because I don't think you necessarily have to go through such, you know, a vivid experience that you can just decide that life is precious.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm going to live it to the fullest. So I love, love, love that you shared that with us. So
of course. It's a big part of my life. So. And I really feel that there's something to be said. And I know everybody is different. And, you know, some people don't feel comfortable sharing those really hard challenges they go through. But for me, there's always been this strength in being vulnerable. And sharing my story has always strengthened me somehow. And so, you know, for me, it's been therapeutic. You know, maybe for others, they don't feel that way, and that's fine. But for me, it's always been a strengthening experience. It's been therapeutic. There's just something that said to remember the experiences that you went through, and when you verbalize them, it kind of like brings back this flood of emotion, good and bad. But I actually love that because, you know, I go through each day, I'm not always thinking about cancer. I don't think about cancer hardly at all anymore, and what a gift that is. But I do love to share my story because it brings back those emotions, good and bad, and it actually humbles me again. It makes me realize again, because we're human, we forget sometimes. We get used to our little routine and our life and start complaining again about little things. And once I start remembering kind of some of my experiences and challenges, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And it's just humbling. And I think it's always good to go back to those experiences and refresh yourself with what did I learn from that and how can I apply that to right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. So with summer upon us, I wanted you to share with my listeners some of the basics to planning a great trip or adventure with your kids.
One thing that has really helped me is to put it on the schedule early on in the year.
Yeah.
So, because I feel like summer happens so quickly. I mean, I can't even believe school's out in a week. And it feels like we just started the school year, like two days ago. And so I think when, you know, the new year starts, you know, January comes around and you realize that, okay, we're halfway through the school year. We've got summer coming up in a few months and summer goes so fast. We've got to just plan it and figure out and at least put on the schedule.
Yeah.
And so I think the number one thing for us is because we've got summer camps and family reunions and, you know, all kinds of things that fill our schedule in the summer even, that if you don't get on the calendar early on, it won't happen. And so for us, a huge priority for us is to plan a family vacation, even if it's just for a few days away, and to put it on the schedule, and then, you know, maybe later down the road, figure out where you're going, but get it on the schedule.
Yeah.
And that will kind of like get your brain into the mode of we're going, we're doing this, and it's happening. And yeah. So for me, that's number one. And then number two, it's just figuring out, okay, how much time do we have? Do we have a whole week? Do we have 2 weeks? Do we have 5 days? Depending on, you know, what your schedule allows and what your budget allows, figure out what time you have. And then maybe discuss with your family. I mean, for us, we involve our kids in the planning. We want them to be excited about it too. And so it's not just my husband and I saying, okay, kids, we're going to Canada. You know, it's, hey, these are some places that we think would be fun for our family. What do you guys think? And we involve our kids in the planning, and that makes it way more fun for everybody in the family. And so I think giving your kids opportunity to give, you know, their input and help you plan, maybe if your kids are older, you can give them an aspect of the trip to plan. Say, hey, will you plan our food, you know, our menu maybe, or where we're going to eat? Or you plan activities. And so I think getting our kids involved in the planning is really important to make the trip more memorable. Yeah. And other than that, it's, you know, like I said, figuring out how much time you have, and then that will determine kind of where you can go. You know, if you've only got a few days, you're obviously going to probably stay kind of close by or a short flight away. But we really enjoy going to new places. So, you know, we have a few favorites that we return to every year or every summer, but we always love to expand and explore a new place. And so for us, it's figuring out, okay, if we've only got a 4 or 5 day window that we can go do something, that's, you know, we don't want to drive more than 6 hours if we've got 4 or 5 days. So let's figure out how far or where we can go with a 5-6 hour drive, if we're going to drive, if we're going to road trip it, and let's figure out somewhere new. And then we just research it, and we read blogs, we go online, we talk to people. I'm talking to people is probably the best thing to do. I mean, everybody wants to give you advice on traveling, so all you got to do is throw it out to your Facebook friends, and I'm sure you'll get 1,000 opinions. Of like some of the things that we do, and obviously there's more to it, but those are like the most important things.
Yeah, I love your point about involving the kids, because I think it invests them more in the vacation, and they come with such different personalities that it's so great
totally.
To, you know, be able to do something that each one of them can really look forward to and take turns.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, what we have found when we involve our kids in the planning, I don't know why this happens, but for some magical reason, they fight less.
Well, there you go.
It's just part of the, hey, we plan this together. This is the plan. If your kids know what to expect, things are going to go smoother. Obviously, not everything goes as planned, but when they know that this is kind of what our itinerary is, and they get excited about it because they got to help plan it,
yeah,
there's just less fighting about it. It's less like, well, why did you pick this? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel really strongly about that. I mean, obviously when they're really little, you know, it's different, you know, but when they get to be old enough to have an opinion, let them help.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding, and the memories are just that much more heightened.
Yeah, I love that. So I know this is not going to be an easy question for you, but what are some of the greatest adventures you've had that you would recommend we all put on our bucket list? Like, what would be your top 5 do not miss destinations? And you can listen.
Oh my God. Wow, that is really hard. Because again, I think I mentioned earlier, everybody has their different ways that they love to travel. For us, we base our travels around outdoor adventure because that's what we love to do. My kids, my husband and I even, we would get bored in museums every day.
Yeah.
But some people love it, you know, but for us, that's just not our thing. So figure out what your family's thing is. What makes you guys all happy? And for us, it's outdoor adventures. So we plan every trip around what outdoor adventures we want to do, like what bucket list places do we want to go. And then we figure out what activities we're going to do there. And then we figure out where we're going to stay. So it's kind of backwards a little bit, but that's how we plan our trips. But I would say our favorite destinations as a family, I'll list a couple U.S. ones because we've done a lot of travel in the U.S., especially on the West Coast area. There's so much to see and do on the West Coast. I would say one of our top destinations is Southern Utah. And I kind of generalize that area because there's so much to do in Southern Utah. But I am telling you, we go every year almost and we explore somewhere new, and it never ceases to amaze us how many amazing, beautiful places there are in Southern Utah. And you just can't see it all, you know?
Yeah.
So we love Zion, we love Bryce Canyon, we love Capitol Reef. So all the national parks are also amazing. But we also love like Moab and Lake Powell. And there's just so many hidden gems. And it's such a fun place to explore with kids because there's rocks to climb and slot canyons to shimmy through. And it's not just like about hiking, but there's just so much to do. I just feel like it's a great family destination. So that is definitely a bucket list location. And it's, you know, for those that live in the West, it is really not that far. So definitely go. Another one in the U.S. that we absolutely love and probably our very favorite national park that we've been to, and we've been to, I think we've counted 20-something, almost 25 national parks that we've been to now. And so that's about half of the national parks that are in the U.S. And our very favorite national park, I mean, it's really hard to narrow it down, but our very favorite is Glacier National Park in Montana. It's extraordinary. It is amazing. Not only the mountains and the glacier lakes, but the wildlife. I mean, we saw grizzly bears and moose right outside our tent. We did see grizzly bears right outside our tent.
That could be a deterrent.
But we saw moose right outside of our tent and, you know, bighorn sheep. And I mean, the wildlife there is just amazing. And it is seriously some of the most beautiful vistas that you will find in the U.S. There's a drive that goes through Glacier National Park called Going to the Sun Road, and it is consistently rated one of the top, if not number one, drive in the U.S. It is, I literally every 2 minutes, you want to pull over and get the camera out. It is just unbelievable. So we love Glacier. There are so many great trails. There's lots of lakes you can kayak on. We recently did, about 3 years ago, we did a trip up to Glacier National Park, and then we went up to Canada, and we spent some time in Waterton, Canada, which is just over the border in Canada. And then we went up to Banff, and we spent a week there and loved Banff. So that is a great road trip, and I think it is a definite bucket list. If you've got at least 10 days, make the road trip from Glacier up through Waterton and then up to Banff, maybe even Jasper National Park in Canada. Your mind will be blown. It is just extraordinary and one of our favorite trips to date. So that is definitely on our bucket list. And then outside of the country, other than Canada, we love Costa Rica. Love Costa Rica. We went there a couple years ago and spent about 2 weeks there. And it is the most family-friendly, adventurous, easiest country, I swear, to travel to outside the United States. It's safe. The water is clean. You can drink the tap water, which I think is pretty unheard of in Central America. The people are the friendliest, happiest people. They really do live the motto that their country motto, which is Pura Vida. And it is just so beautiful. I mean, jungle, rainforest, ocean, surf, rivers. I mean, every kind of landscape, volcanoes that you can imagine is in Costa Rica. And we went ziplining and rappelling and surfed and boogie boarded and even river rafted. I mean, we literally packed it in for 2 weeks. And it was one of, if not probably our most memorable trip that we've ever taken as a family. So I definitely think if you're looking for a destination that is outside the country, that is affordable to go to as a family, and it's super safe and really fun, and you're into the outdoors, you cannot go wrong with Costa Rica. So that would be another destination. So I said Southern Utah, Canada or Glacier, Costa Rica. And then I also think Mexico is really great too. Mexico kind of gets a bad rep sometimes because, you know, there's, it seems like there's always some issues in Mexico. But every time we've gone, it's always been safe. And we love the Yucatan Peninsula because of the beaches, but the food is amazing and the people are so warm and friendly, and you've got the ruins and the jungle and the cenotes. And so we love Mexico. And so that's another good, easy location to travel to if you live in the U.S. And then I would say Hawaii. You know, that's kind of a no-brainer, I think. And most people that have been to Hawaii would probably agree with that. It's a little more touristy, I feel like, than like Costa Rica. But it's just easy. You know, you can go to any island in Hawaii and have a fabulous time. And there's so much to do for families. And it's just amazing. So we love Hawaii, specifically Maui. We love Maui and Hawaii.
We've never been to Maui. That's my next trip.
Yeah, so fun. The thing that we love to do the most on Maui, if you have kids, I think the minimum age is 6. But if you are up for the most amazing adventure that you'll never forget, definitely do the sunrise. The sunrise at Volcano Haleakala, is that how you say it? Yeah, Haleakala. And it's a national park. You get up at like 3 in the morning, so it's really early. But you've got to drive up the volcano, and then you witness the sunrise. And it is literally the most astounding sunrise I've ever witnessed. It is just incredible. It's 10,000 feet high, which is really high for Hawaii. And you watch these clouds. You're like literally above the clouds, and you watch the clouds just kind of swirl, you know, beneath the volcano, and then that sun comes up and it just illuminates the clouds, creates this beautiful light, and it is just amazing. And then you can bike down the volcano. I think it's about 22 miles, and it is so fun. We just did it in January, and our kids, it was their favorite day, hands down. Gotta do that. Bye.
Okay, so if money or time are in short supply, what kind of quick, cheap, or close adventures would you recommend?
Okay, so obviously we're fans of camping. If you like to camp, or even if you're willing to try out glamping, there are so many different glamping, you know, locations now that a lot of people are starting that because they realize that not everybody's a camper or doesn't want to invest in the camping equipment, but it's super cheap. And so I feel like camping is always a win because it gets the kids outdoors. It's cheap. I mean, you're not paying for accommodations, or maybe if you are, it's like, you know, just a camping permit, you know, so really cheap.
Yeah.
But we love state parks and national parks, and most cities are within a couple hours of a national park, most major cities in the U.S. And so I feel like you can never go wrong with a national park or a state park. And if you're willing to camp, it'll be an adventure. And it's so fun. And the kids always have so much fun. So that's always good. If you don't want to camp, we always do Airbnbs because I feel like it just gives you more of that local feel, and you have your space. You can cook if you want. You're not eating out all the time, so you save some money that way. So we always Airbnb, and we've even stayed in an Airbnb that was like, you know, the people still live there, but it was just like part of the house that was an Airbnb. And it sounds super weird, but it actually was the most memorable Airbnb we ever stayed in because it was so fun to meet this couple, and they like taught my kids how to play the guitar, and it was just like this home, you know, like this, you just felt welcomed, and it was more like a bread and breakfast. So you get more of that feel, but a little more personal. So, you know, don't be opposed to that. I feel like those experiences can really be enriching. So it's a cheap way to go too if you don't want to rent a whole house or apartment. So I feel like that's a good, you know, place to stay if you're looking to save on accommodations.
Yeah, I love that. My husband and I were never fans of camping ourselves. But once we had kids and we took them a few times, they love it so much. And it's so funny because we always have this moment in the middle of the night where we're like, why on earth are we here? Our kids love it so much. And all of their best stories and best memories come from camping. So every year we plan camping trips. It's so worth it for the memories. But yeah, my husband and I, we're getting better at it. But we've never been very good at it. And then we Airbnb'd all the way through Europe. And it was awesome. Like we loved staying in the ones alone. But we really loved staying in the ones where the family was close by. or even
oh,
in the
good.
House.
Oh, good. So you've had experience with that too. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? That was our first time doing it and we loved it. I actually would venture to say that my favorite one was like a room in a house with another family, because then they would tell us like what to do. That was really fun.
Exactly.
And it was so fun to get to meet people that were, you know, different from different areas, and you know, I loved that. So Airbnb is such a great option. Yeah.
Yeah, and you get the insider, you get the insider tip.
Yeah.
And it just feels like it's a, you know, I mean, for us traveling, one of the best things about traveling is meeting people, mm-hmm. and just hearing their story and different cultures is, you know, and if you're in a hotel, you can't always get that experience. And so that's why we're big fans of Airbnb or even camping, because when we're camping, we meet other people near us and we strike up a conversation, and before you know it, we're best friends by the time, you know, we're leaving.
Yeah.
So I just feel like you go outside your comfort zone a little bit and the rewards are priceless. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, Christina, thank you so much for coming on. It has been so fun to chat with you. I think you have definitely dropped some really amazing nuggets of things that will be helpful for my listener. And I've totally added to my like to-do list of like things I absolutely have to experience with my family. But where can my listeners find you and follow along on all of your great adventures?
Yeah, so we have a blog, a travel blog that's specifically for outdoor adventure, family travel. So it's, you know, all about outdoors and camping and hiking and tips on how to do that and where to go and all that. So our blog is just adventuretogether.com, so pretty easy to remember.
Yeah.
And on social media, we can be found on Instagram as Max Explore. So it's MACS and then _Explore. Max is kind of our nickname for our last name. And that is our kind of, you know, where we share our adventures on social media. So definitely, you know, if you're on Instagram, that's a great place to find us. And we share tips on there too, and we link blog posts and stuff like that. So, you know, definitely it's a good resource as well. And we haven't started a YouTube channel yet. Actually, we do have one, but we just haven't uploaded any videos yet. But our YouTube channel will be Max Explore as well. And we'll be doing stuff this summer. So stay tuned for that. We've got some big, huge plans coming up.
Well, I'll make sure to link to all the different places to find you in the show notes so my listeners can find you. Thank you so, so, so much again, and have a wonderful...
You're welcome. Thanks, Monica. Thanks for having me.
Wasn't Christina just amazing? I love her outlook on life and her absolute commitment to making memories and living life just to the fullest with her family. And I am not a huge fan of camping, but it's so worth it to see the looks on my kids' faces, to get them outdoors, and to just make these memories that will live forever in their memories, that they'll tell stories about to their children and my grandkids. So I'm so glad that Christina made some time to come on and chat with us, and I will link to all the places where you can find her in my show notes, because they are such a fun family and it is so fun to follow their adventures. They really do some really great things together. And I hope that you are all having an amazing summer and making the most of it. And if you haven't downloaded my screen-free summer yet and you're thinking, wow, I wish I could think of a few more things to entertain my kids this summer. We're starting to get in this rut where we're just looking at screens. Make sure you go to my Instagram or my Facebook. You can download my screen-free summer, chocked full of ideas. And next week, I have an extraordinary guest. It is Jessica Dahlquist from the Extraordinary Moms podcast. Her interview is so much fun. I know you're going to love it. So tune in next week. And until then, make sure you're living on the brighter side.